It's a pleasure to introduce Rav Simcha Kraus, who had the pleasure of making Aliyah 9 years ago after spending, I think, over 20 years at Young Israel of Hillcrest. How many years? 25 years as the rabbi of Young Israel of Hillcrest, one of the prominent shuls in New York City. Before that, he served as a rabbi in St. Louis. He taught at Yeshiva University for many years. He has Yora Yora Yadin Yadin Smicha from Rav Huttner of Chaim Berlin. Then he became a Talmid of the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik. And now he'll be speaking on a very important topic. He has left Israel for a few months to come to New York to work on a new Beit Din on the Aguna issue. He's been teaching at Eretz Hatzvi in Israel, and he's really one of the deans of the American rabbinate, served as the president of the Religious Zionists of America, and he listened to what he said. So he made Aliyah, but we're very pleased to have him here in Toronto, and it's my pleasure to introduce him. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Kelmer, for your kind introduction. You know that when you invited me, I hesitated, but after this introduction, it was worth it. Thank you very much. I believe it. I guess I should start, if I speak about a Beit Din for Agunot. I'll tell you the structure of what I'm going to say. I'm going to start with a short Dvar Torah. I'll tell you a little bit of why I went into that, and then I also have sources. You should know that I see Rabbanim Talmidei Chachamim, whom I know from way back, they deserve lamdas, and everybody deserves lamdas, something like a new Beis Din, and something, if he does something novel, it has to be based on halakha, it has to be based on lamdas. Without halakha, it's just talk. So that's the structure of my talk. But to begin, I'd like to begin with the parsha in Chumash, where Moshe Rabbeinu is told by Yisro to make judges, and he says, "Vatatech zeh mikol ha'am," you should see to pick from the people, and shechayil, strong people, yireh Elokim, fearful of God, awe of God, and she'emes, true people, soinei botza, they hate money. And so on and so forth. A structure. You know that the famous story with Rav Fishman? Maimon? Of course, we should know. We're in the Bnei Akiva building, so we should know it. No, this, don't take mine. I'll forget my speech. So if you know it, I wouldn't tell you. So I'll ask you a question. So here it says, Anshi Chayil, strong. Yireh Elokim, Anshi Emes, Soinei Botza, they hate money. When Moshe implements it, it says, Vayivchar Moshe. Moshe chose Anshe Chayil Mikol Yisrael. Anshe Chayil, what happened with the people who hate money? What happened with truth? What happened with Yireh Elokim? Apparently that's not there. What happened? So there's a machloket between the Rashbam and the Ramban on that. The Rashbam says he didn't find them. Yeah, you could have, to use that Maimon, even with money, he didn't find the Soinei Botza. He didn't find them. But I think that no. And the Ramban holds, no, he did find them, but they grew into this. If you're a good piece. But the main thing is to be Anshe Chayil. Anshe Chayil means you have to be strong. What does it mean you have to be strong? You have to worry, don't worry about controversy and don't worry about criticism. The main thing is Anshe Chayil. You have to be strong. Sometimes certain decisions in Psak, certain decisions of a rabbi or of a posek or of a dayan has to be, you don't care what people say. Your friends, your enemies, you don't care about it. Public opinion can play a role. Yeah, sometimes the Supreme Court does what the elections say to do, but sometimes you don't have to do that. And that's the point of Anshe Chayil. This fantastic Gemara. The Gemara says that the dayan who paskins din emes lamito has to see the Gehenna behind him. What does it mean he has to see the Gehenna behind him? What do you mean he has to see the Gehenna behind him? Yeah, he has to know that sometimes he'll have a Gehenna from his psakim, and nevertheless to be afraid. And sometimes, we use the phrase called for giving your life. We called mesirut nefesh. The literal translation of martyrdom is mesirut nefesh. But Rav Amiel said it already a long time ago. It's not only your life that you have to give. That's Mesirat HaGuf. You do have to give your nefesh. Sometimes you know that you're passing a psak that's, yeah, not 99% of the paiskim hold different, but there's one important paiskim holds different. And you think you give away your soul, and nevertheless you have to do it. That's what the Dayan has to see. He'll see the Gehenna before himself, and he has to do it nevertheless. You know, I came into the Aguna situation, so in a strange kind of way. Somebody knows I was in Hillcrest, Rabbi Grisman. You know, rabbis generally come in the summer. So in summer, the rabbis have it easy in the beginning. You know, there's a lot of shiurim and a lot of talks. After all, it's Elul. You prepare for Elul, and you pray for Yantav, and you have those good speeches, hopefully, and so on and so forth. But the minute Yantav was over, one person comes in, a member of mine comes in and says, Rabbi, you spoke very nicely. I said, and I want to see if you can do something for me. What can I do for you? He says, I have a sister who is in Aguna, 5 years in Aguna. And can you do something? And I want to just tell you the first meeting with them. I made a meeting with him. And he says, don't meet me in the house or anywhere. Meet me in front of the pizza shop on Main Street. Those of you know Queens, the pizza shop on Main Street. And I have a car. And I'll... He was afraid that... He was a gangster, finally, I found out. But so he said that... he's a native gangster, yeah. And I'll make a sign with the light this way and that way. Then, you know, it's my car and come in. And I go into his car and I go in. And I feel a gun near me. Cold gun. So I know I dealt with that. Baruch Hashem, he trusted me. And after 3 weeks, he listened to me and he gave a gift. I did it the old-fashioned way then. Then there was another situation where it was something like that, except he did something to me. And in a manner of speaking, I didn't mind that he did it because I won't start political science in college, and I taught constitutional law. And I said, you know, he sued me. But he sued me in small claims court. So I said to myself, small claims court is a big waste of time because you have to go for 10 weeks, as it happened in our case. Finally he gave up. That's not. But I wish that I lose the case because I wanted to go to the Supreme Court to see what the court will say if a rabbi does his job, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But then I realized that that's another way to solve Aguna issues. And I thought about it, but in New York, you know, it was a big congregation, I was busy. I came to Israel, and people asked me to do it. It took me a long time, and I finally accepted. And when I accepted, I realized that if you'll do it the old-fashioned way, we're not going to solve many cases. And aginut, the concept of a bal who's mesarev a get, a person who doesn't give a get, is a tragic case. And there are many agunot. I'm not going to give you the numbers, but anybody who studied them knows there are many agunot both in New York and in Israel. And I consider igun, siruv get, the number of agunot that exist in the Jewish community, I consider that a tragedy. Not only is it a tragedy for the Jewish people, no, it's a tragedy for halacha, and it's a stain on halacha. I believe it's a stain on halacha, because it comes to say that halacha can't solve its problems. And I believe, be'emunah shleima, that the halacha could solve its problems. The only thing is, you have to have a little bit of chayil in you, and so on and so forth. It's a fantastic gemara, and that'll be the end of my drush, but I must tell you something that I think. The fantastic gemara, the gemara says in Gittin, in the sugi of Churban, the gemara says that why did the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed? Why was the Beit HaMikdash destroyed? The humility of Zechariah ben Afkilas destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Why did the humility of Zechariah ben Afkilas destroy the Beit HaMikdash? And Rashi learns the savlanuto, the tolerance. Why is that he with tolerance? What's going on? What happened like this? You know, there was a Jew who hated Judaism. Self-hating Jew. He wanted to destroy the temple, so he concocted the following story. He concocted the story. He went to the temple and said, Emperor, if you send the carbon to the Jewish temple, you see they will not take it because they rebel against you. The Roman emperor. So what did he do? He created in the behemoth that the animal that the emperor sent, he created a blemish. So it came to the Beit HaMikdash, they saw a blemish. Oh, a blemish. We can't be makrivet. So there was a discussion in the Beit HaMikdash. So somebody said yes, and somebody said no, and the oldest person was the Zachariah ben Afkilas, and he said, we can't. Why? Because Yoimru, people will say, Mumim krivi krivi le mizbeach. You can take a blemished animal and just give it to the mizbeach, and you can do, and that'll be a chilul Hashem. You can do it. So I want to ask you a simple story. On this, the Gemara says because he was under the sonasai, he was an honor, he was a humble. I want to ask you a simple question. You would be in that Sanhedrin. The Emperor of Rome sent you a thing to do. What would you do? What would be the halacha? I want to ask you a simple thing. What would you do? Come on, you also have to learn a piece of Gemara, not only I. Pshat, tell me, Pshat, what would you do? Yes? Huh? You're allowed. Why would you allow it? Because Pikuach Nefesh, you know that this is an emperor, this is the Caligula, and he'll destroy the temple and the Jewish people. Yeah? So why didn't they do that? Because Zachariah ben Afkila said, it's such a big shayla, I can't paskin. I am to paskin. I have to ask the Gedolim. I have to ask somebody else. I have to ask somebody else. I can't paskin. Who am I? That's why Rashi says, Savlonasoi, his tolerance. Everybody is bigger than I am. No. When you have to paskin such a shayla of nefashot, you don't say everybody. If you have a solution and not a bad solution, you do it. And that's what the Gemara says. Sometimes savlanut, sometimes anivut, a false humility, a paralyzing humility that leads to inaction, that leads to churban. It led to the churban habayis, and it leads not only to the churban habayis, it leads to the paralysis of halacha. People come to a business and sometimes say, come on, he should paskin on it. She says, yeah, you have to paskin on it. She says, if that's on your desk, that's what you have to do. And sometimes you see the Gehenna, but you have to paskin anyway. And that's the tragedy. The tragedy is that the leadership feels too small. And it's not that small. Baruch Hashem, lately in America, we have a fantastic, tell me, when were there so much Torah learned as now in America? When in history, in Psura and Pumpedusa, they had more students of Torah than we have now? They had a different quality, I understand. But nevertheless, and we don't have leaders to pass on that. And that's a terrible, terrible mistake. So part one of doing that, because I see Igun as a matter of a tragedy. It's a tragedy for Judaism. It's a tragedy for the woman in the first place. That's the most important thing, and it's a tragedy that the halakha cannot solve its problems. So when we came up and I was invited to do the Bezna for Agunot, the so-called IBD, International Bezna for Agunot, I said, I'll do it with a few conditions. Number one, that the lay board will support me, but it'll leave me independent, I was promised that. Number two, I want to do certain things that no Bezna does. For example, you go to a situation of an aguna. She comes to the business. She sees three men with beards, without beards, with gray beards, old beards, black hats, etc. And you talk the most intimate details. And she is frustrated. And sometimes she doesn't give over her story correctly. And if you don't give the story correctly, we can't pass them correctly. So we instituted, we have a committee of women health professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers. There's a committee, and each one committed herself to come to two sessions, and there's a chairman of that, and they arranged that for that. Number one, so there's a woman always present it puts the person at ease, it puts the person a little more relaxed, etc. Not three rabbis looking down at you. We also did away, since I said looking down, you know, that person stands. We sit at a round table. Nobody's at a half table. And we try to have a discussion, not just a question, cross-examination, etc., etc. The other thing I said, hopefully we'll be transparent. Transparency means that every decision that comes to us, we will publish. Every case that comes to us, we will publish. We're working now on a website. And we're working on a website. And everyone will know whether we did ta'ut, which a mistake, you know, sometimes you can undo a marriage by mistake. Imagine last case was relatively easy. We had a case where we found out that at the Kiddushin there were not two kosher Eidim. So obviously that was one of the things we didn't have to sweat too much. Although this is also controversial, but this is accepted. Or something else. Somebody was found out to be, how do you call it? Somebody said that he's God. Somebody said from a small city in America that he's God and therefore he doesn't have to listen to the rabbis. So we put the psychiatrist on the case. And he told us that this was before we have the documentation, that this happened before the wedding. The woman didn't know. And out of this comes, and we solved the case, etc., etc. But sometimes even that is not enough. Sometimes it's not a mistake, you know. And the husband is not sick. He's nothing more than a person who extorts money. He wants a mashallah situation. He'll give a get, but he will only do it if she gives him $500,000. So what do you do then? So every business said, no, we can't do it. And we found a way of doing it. We find a way of doing it. And we'll do it, Mir Hashem, with the concept of zikui get. Now, what is zikui get? Now you have to use your hands. The terms of zikui, I will not be terribly technical. And please, while I'm technical, feel free to ask me any questions. I always tell my students I don't bite. So the concept of zikui is based on the first, where it says the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The second said, regarding a get, etc., which is detriment, we cannot obligate. Regarding a gift, which is a benefit, we can benefit someone even in his absence, which means like this. Imagine I find $1 million on the floor. It's hefka, it belongs in the street. And I don't pick it up for myself. I say I am picking it up for Rabbi Grisman. And he's in Australia. He doesn't know that I picked it up for him. It's his. Al Pidin is his. Why? Because something that's a benefit, you can become what's called a, even though he never appointed me as a shliach, he never appointed me as a messenger to pick up money from me. If he appointed me, he appointed me. But he doesn't know he's in Australia vacationing there. And I say, I pick it up for him. It's a zchut. And once it's a zchut, I can do something for him even though he doesn't know about it. Even though he doesn't know about it. Now, some of us go through this every Pesach. You all sell your chametz on Pesach, correct? This is a universal minhag in Klal Yisrael, sells their chametz on Pesach. For example, it says, it happens to you, Rabbi, what happened to me, what once one of my balabatim went to Israel, and he forgot to sell the chametz on Pesach. And he calls me after Yontav, Rabbi, I have so much and so much liquor, you know, and I have to throw it out. So I said, no, I sold it for you. I knew that you come every year. This year you didn't come. You see, when you come and you give permission, there's no problem. But you didn't give permission. You didn't sign permission. What was the basis? Why could I sell your chametz? I sell your chametz because zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. You understand so far? Because of a benefit. So in other words, when it comes to a law to prohibit the chametz on Pesach, you're not over. You're not, don't transgress it, etc. Except somebody, if you think hard, you should ask me a question on this case that I gave you.
What about the people? Did you think about this particular individual, or was that a general assumption that you
no.
made?
This individual, people come personally to sign their chametz. And then Mr. Goldstein, let's say, came and he didn't come this year. I looked at my last year's list. I said, hey, Mr. Goldstein went to Israel. He forgot. So I took up it on myself that he would want that to happen. That's fine, but there's a because this is very related to what we're telling you.
But you can ask, why wouldn't the get be a benefit?
Huh? Why would the get be a benefit? You're already ahead of the game. But a get could be a benefit. I'll come back, I'll repeat it. A get is a benefit because let's assume this fellow who wants $500,000 married a woman already. Mm-hmm. Without giving a correct get. So if he didn't give a correct get, he's over chayim the rabbinic action. By giving him a get, the benefit is that he's not overcharged in the renegation. I'll come to that. But before that, before the chevre, come on, listen, you know, I'm only doing the easy stuff.
What if somebody else sold it?
Huh?
What if he sold it for somebody else?
If you sold it, it's sold. So what? What if you go to six rabbis? That was, you sold it, you sold it. But let's assume you didn't. What's the theory? I'm doing theoretically. But there's a problem with the Chametz case, because that will be relevant to what you asked too. Huh? So you buy it back. That's not. But huh? A kinyan is. What do you mean? A talmid kinyan? Why not? You don't have to make. You have to give me permission. A kinyan is only permission. I know that he gives permission. Although you're asking, well, but a kinyan means permission. Permission is sufficient. But there's an other problem. No, I know everything. I know that there's six. You know, you have to speak about my question. You know, a million things can happen.
Helping a
mitzvah is wonderful. The Tzai says that. Yeah, okay. It's a mitzvah. That's why. That only gives the reason why. But in this case, even if it's a mitzvah, it shouldn't help. There's a subtle distinction. You see, when I go and pick up hefker money for Rabbi Grisman, it belongs to nobody. I'm not taking away from anything else. But tell me, when I sell your chametz, what right do I have to sell your chametz? That's already, first the chametz has to become mine. So when you come and you personally give me the, sign it, so you signed it over to me. I made the kinyan. Wonderful. But you didn't give me that. You didn't give me the permission, so there's a concept, one word. In the lambdas they talk about there's a difference between zachin la'adam or zachin me'adam. Zachin la'adam, I pick up the money for Rabbi Grisman, that's no problem. But zachin me'adam, to take your chametz and sell it, I can't do it. Here, I'll give your wife a get, but I'm taking your wife away from you. That's already a problem. So, had God geholfen, there's a great rabbi, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, who gave that exact example that I told you. And Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan said, no, the concept of Zochin L'Odom and Zochin Me'odom is the same. And yes, for a mitzvah purpose, you can even be Zochin in somebody else's money or in somebody else's, even though you take away his wife, because it's a mitzvah, you can do it. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan passed that 120 years ago. And it's written in the Sefer. This is not new. I haven't said a thing yet. I'll come to tell you my contribution. I haven't said a thing. But you should know something else. The Yitzchak Elchanan said that saving an agunah is tantamount to pikuach nefesh, which means that he said that you could be mechalel Shabbos to save an agunah. That's what he said. But that's what he says. Okay?
So,
go ahead.
Yeah, if he said that it's why can't you break the rule of the
Baal
has to give the get?
Because the Baal, what do you mean? You're asking very well.
Why did the good have to come at all? It's because Nefesh, give the get with the forcing the Baal.
Okay.
Give
tell
the
me.
Get without the Baal.
Tell me, is it a mitzvah to blow Shofar and Shabbos?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why do we not blow?
What?
Why not? The Gemara says that Shofar is pikuach nefesh in a matter of speaking. You can't. You can't undo a mitzvah that's bekum va'asei. Pikuach nefesh means the seriousness of it is pikuach nefesh. But in the details of the mitzvah, it's not so. It's a good question.
You can't do kum va'asei for pikuach nefesh?
What?
If there was someone dying, you couldn't do kum va'asei?
You could do anything, but you can't do away with pikuach nefesh. Okay. It's a good question. No, I you should ask that question. We'll come to them. But that's what he said. Yes?
It's the problem that there may be a downside to this zikui. It's a question of monetary to say hefker, bezin, hefker.
I'll come to bezin, hefker, hefker. I'll come to bezin, hefker, bezin if you wait 2 minutes.
I'll wait.
I just want to show you that when the Yitzchak Elchanan said Zochin la'odom and me'odom is the same, it has a basis somewhere. And that's mine. Look at number two. Number two, I can explain in 2 minutes. You know what a pasha sota is? You know what a sota is. A husband thinks that his wife doesn't have fidelity to him, correct? So he tells her, don't be with that man, correct? So the halacha is, not only he can do it, Bezdin can do it for him. I'll soon come. Why can Bezdin do it for him? It's taking away from him a wife. Correct? The answer is because there's no difference between Zachin Lodom and Zachin Meyad. You understand me well? Can we go further? You don't understand. Ask me the question. What don't you understand? Feel free. You understand? It's very simple. Okay. Fine. So then we'll come to something else, because what I answered you to is a little bit problematic. So people can say the Gemara speaks always about tangible or legal things. So money is legal. We understand that $1 million is chus. But how do I know that the spiritual chus is also chus? Now he said the word mitzvah, which is not wrong, but to show you in a sefer. Number three, klal ha'oile. The principle is emerges is that every spiritual benefit, which is also detriment to the body, and that for that it doesn't want to, you know, etc., etc. So Mamela, he rules that even that is okay. Even a spiritual benefit that sometimes can be a benefit, not a detriment to the body. And that fellow has now a spiritual benefit that he doesn't have a second wife. Okay. So far, so good. Now there are two more questions. What if the fellow says, I don't want to give a get? How can we say it's a schus? If Griezmann said, I don't want $1 million. I don't want $1 million. Comes along the Rashba in Kedushin and says no. And were I not hesitant, I would say that this applies even against his will. Something that's a benefit. Griezmann can shy $1 million. I don't want to benefit from that money. It belongs to him. By a gift, it's a little different. The Rashba says that in English, it doesn't matter. But the Rashba says that even against his will. So Mamela, in this particular case, where the husband wants $500,000, I say like this. A, he doesn't want to give a get. The truth is that he does want to give it. Because for money, he'll give it. Peretz is, he needs money too, but he wants to give a get. If he would say, I love her, I don't want anything, I just don't want to separate it, I'd have a problem. But in most cases, it's not that way. 99.9% of the cases where the husband doesn't give a get, it's for cases of extortion. Extortion? You want to give a get? Now, do you want money too? That's not my problem. You want to give a get? Okay. Now, this gentleman asked about Hefker Bezdin Hefker. That's one of the things that I add. We say Zochin L'Adam Shelo Befanav. So Zochin L'Adam Shelo Befanav, this is by an individual. Like I told you, I'll pick it up for Griezmann. I'm not a member. What if they come to Bezdin and Bezdin does Zochin? The minute Bezdin does Zochin, it's not like an individual that you can argue yes, no. Bezdin is, what is Bezdin? Bezdin acts as a representative. Bezdin passes. There's a concept known as Maasei Bezdin. Something that Bezdin does is valid sometimes against the rules. Just as they can take your money and say it doesn't belong to anybody. You know, there's a rule in the Knesset. No, there's a rule. They want to pass a rule in the Knesset. That every husband who, they want to pass the rule in the Knesset, that every husband who after 3 months, let's say, doesn't give a get, what we do is that we retroactively take away the money that he had the day of his wedding. So Mamela, the ring wasn't his. That's the case you want. Hefker Bezdin Hefker. So if we don't want, I'm an American, I don't want religion and state mixing in. I think that it's better if we handle the problem themselves. But I'll go upon them. That's the situation. Okay? So that's your situation. Now I say one more thing. And this is what I'm adding. Later on, maybe I'll show you the proof. Maybe I wouldn't. Unless you have questions. You have any questions so far? No questions. Okay. Must be very good or very bad. But this is a serious thing. Somebody asked, okay, I want to put it to you in a historical context. When the issue of Get Zikui came up in Israel, you know, what is a good psak? A good psak has to have precedent, you know, stare decisis, and it has to have scholarship. Now, the fact is there's plenty of precedent in Israel for the concept of Get Zikui. It started, I say Israel, after the Medina. When the Medina was formed, there was a big immigration from Yemen, you remember? And there were five women who didn't want to, five women immigrated to Israel, but their husbands didn't want to emigrate to Israel from Yemen, and they became, they converted to Islam in Yemen and remained there. So Herzog writes a letter to one of the great Gedolim, to Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg, and he says, Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg, I have a lot of pain. These five women, they are gunot. The husbands don't want to send a get, and they converted to Islam. Can you have an idea for me? And the long and the short of it, the tshuva of 90 pages, I'm not, essentially he says, well maybe we'll do get zikri. And then he says, the bezin. And he says, they did it in Poland, and they did it in Warsaw, and the Mayor Arik did it, and later on, I'll mention names that you may know, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Rabbi of Yerushalayim, Rav Waldenberg, the great expert on metrical ethics, also gave, and so on and so forth, and many did it. Now, there was one rabbi who wrote a whole big book that get zikri can happen. His name is Rav Mintzberg. He was also a rabbi in Yerushalayim. But Rav Herzog says, I answered all his objections. So he accepted the psak of Rav Chil Yaakov Weinberg, and that's how he freed. And not only that, it happened with the immigration from Yemen, and it happened with the immigration from the Soviet Union. At one time, people trickled out from the Soviet Union before the big, before Perestroika, before Gorbachev. But then, sometimes women came, husbands remained. Husbands who remained in the Soviet Union, what were they? Avid communists. They didn't believe in this nonsense of giving a get. What did they do? They used the same kind of thing, the same kind of... in fact, that's also one of the tshuvas. There three times Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg wrote a tshuva on zikui. Here, in the case of the Soviet Union, in the case of Yemen, and in another case, that was a relatively easy case. But yes, a bezin can do it. Now, I want to give you... But there's one question. How the heck can you give a get to the husband without him saying so? Zuchus, okay, some people worked. I have no idea. And this is a modern idea, but nevertheless, if I'll have to defend it halachically, I'll defend it halachically. You know very well that in marriage, you went to weddings recently, yeah? There are two steps in marriage. One is what we call the betrothal, when the chassan says Ariat Mekudeshetli, and one is what's called the chuppah. Now we conflated. At one time, it was two separate times. The betrothal was on January 1, 2013, and the wedding was January 1, 2015. Now we do the same. But essentially, there are two separate steps. The betrothal makes her really somebody's wife. Okay. The nesuin creates a marriage, which is totally different. And that's correct. That's a correct thing. But you know, when we speak of marriages in modern times... You heard of the expression a good marriage and a bad marriage? You never heard that? Okay. I'll tell you something of a dead marriage. I'll tell you what I mean. Seriously, this is not... Sometimes the relationship is good. And sometimes the relationship is bad, but they still go together. But sometimes we can recognize when it's called a dead marriage. For example, if they still hope that many couple fights, and nevertheless, you kiss and make up. No tragedy. That's what happens, you know. You know, sometimes you fight about big things and small things. You know, the wife decides about, the husband decides about the small things, you know, where to go for vacation, and the wife decides how to spend the money, the big things, and so on and so forth. Yeah. But sometimes they fight about other things, and you know they'll never make up again. He lives with his mistress in California, and she lives in New York, and so on and so forth. What's that? That's a dead marriage. Al-Pidin is a dead marriage. And if this exists 7 years, you know that they'll never get together again. Al-Pidin, I think that this is a lesser issue. There's no relationship. So it's not a bad marriage or a good marriage. It's a dead marriage. And it's just about over. And that has halachic consequences. How do I know? I'll give you a simple example. That's not the only example, but I'll give it to you. Let's assume a couple decides to get divorced, an amicable divorce, not our cases that come to our, but an amicable divorce, if there exists such a thing. An amicable divorce. And they decide, next Thursday, December 1st, we'll go to Besen to get a divorce. And one of them dies in between. What would you say? Do they have to shiva for each other or no? Why not? There was no get given. No get was given. Says the Shulchan Aruch, says one of the Mefarshim of the Shulchan Aruch. One doesn't have to sue because the relationship was broken already. And once the relationship was broken already, there's no halacha of shiva. So I argue, I extrapolate from this that we see conceptually there's a third kind. It's not an arusa, and it's not an asua. It's just about over. You still need the get. The giving of this lesser, the giving of this get to this kind of lesser marriage doesn't have all the halachas, the strict halachas of what? Of a real divorce. A real divorce is a real divorce. But something that came to that kind of marriage that's lesser needs a lesser divorce. You need a piece of paper. But that paper can be given with zechus. That paper can be given by a bezdin. And there's a Rambam like that. You want to see it inside? Where? You want to work on it? But you'll have to work. Okay. I should have it in the... It's not our readers from my original. Yeah. Yeah, number 8. Number 8. You'll see.
So why is the whole problem an issue? Wait a couple years, the husband and wife are living separately, and then the guest has given.
That's what I ask. And? That's why I instituted the bezin to be able to do it. What do you
why
mean, and?
Why
they don't do the Rambam? Why don't they do other things? Why don't they do the Rabbi Utam? Why they don't put him in jail when they have to? In Israel, they have the power.
That's why. In Israel, they have the power. Here they go.
And they can't. No. In Israel, they don't put him in jail either.
Oh.
Once in a million, they put in jail. That's the tragedy. That's the tragedy of the leadership.
I read in Time magazine that they
did. I don't know about Time magazine. I know that.
The
Rambam, I know. More than that, I don't know. Now listen to the Rambam. Number 8. It's a very important Rambam. Kodem matan Torah, before the Torah was given, a man could meet a woman in public, and if each of them desired to marry her, he would bring her into his house and consummate the marriage, and she would be his wife. Once the Torah was given, the Jewish people were commanded that if a man wants to marry a woman, he should acquire her first, kinyan, gives hariat mukadeshet, in front of witnesses. And afterwards she would be his wife based on the verse when a man takes a wife. Tell me, the Rambam tells us history? The Rambam never tells us history. What's the Rambam telling us? The Rambam tells us that halachically, what we call today, a civil marriage among goyim is a halacha. That's what he says. Correct? Now let's go to the second. That's only a setup. Number 9. When should a Noahide's wife, a non-Jew's wife, be considered like one of our divorcees? When is a Noahide's wife considered like one of our divorcees? Now he speaks. When he removes her from his home and sends her off independent, or when she leaves his domain and walks off, the halacha for non-Jews is much easier. You simply go out of the house and you get divorced. Good. Because they do not have written divorce. They do not have written divorce. How does the Rambam know it? Because the Rambam says, because the Chumash says that when he's meshaleach her mibeito. So what he says, just as that living together is kiddushim for non-Jews by non-Jews, there's a get by non-Jews. When he sends her out, when he's meshaleach her. Okay? Somebody has a question. No? Wait a second. Ve'ein ha'dovar tolu boi vivad. Elo kol zman shi yirtze huwa yi poishin zem zeh poishin. Okay? And tell me. So I want to ask you. We Jews have more. We have a ring. And we also have a ksav. Correct? So what is our thing more than them? We need a piece of paper. Tell me. So we don't have the sending away at all? We don't have the shiluach at all? It says, ki yikach ish isha, v'shilcha mibeisa. So we don't have the sending away. We also have the goyish stuff. When is it called a sending away? When is it called a removing from the house? When the relationship ended. When the relationship ended, we also have it. Except we need one more small thing. We need a ksav. We need a get. That get after that small thing is not as... as chamur, is not as stringent as the real get. The real get is different. And now I'll, okay? If you don't like it, ask me a question. I'm here to answer questions. Yeah. If you don't like it, it's not use. Yeah. You can ask anything you want. Very, very good. Very, very good. Any other question? I'll answer that in a second. And you also had a question or the same question? He says very well. The Chumash says that Avelus and Sheira are a relationship. And the relationship ended. So now, and Yerusha, you'll see my things. I want to give. Yes, sir.
We're working on the concept of probability.
For what?
Probability.
Yeah. Even when he married another woman, and okay, I have to look at the studies. If you're asking, if there are studies like that, if there are studies like that, we have to look at, because studies we have to look at. But I want to answer your question, so I'll bring you another proof. I didn't have it here. That's a proof from an open pasuk in Chumash, but the person who quotes that is the Arsameach, the Meir Simcha Kohen, or the Arsameach, or the Meshech Chachma, known better in the world as Meshech Chachma. In Parshas Behaloscha, where the discussion of Miriam speaking Lashon Hara on Moshe Rabbeinu exists. Right, listen carefully. So it says that she spoke Lashon Hara. So there was about Sanhedrin. They spoke it in front of a Sanhedrin. So the Yerushalmi quotes that Moshe and Pinchas were in the Sanhedrin. Listen carefully. As the Yerushalmi, how could Moshe and Pinchas be in the Sanhedrin? Pinchas was whose son? Yisra's daughter, correct? Who was the sister of Zipporah. So they're related. How could two relatives be in the same Sanhedrin? Says the Yerushalmi, even the Piresh Moshe Mimenu, since Moshe Rabbeinu is separate from Tzipora, ki ilun, that's the quote of the Yishalmi, ki ilun nidgashu, like they were separated. What does that prove to you, Rabbi? Okay, so it's not like, yeah, Beidus, that's not good enough, they're not relatives anymore. No, it's not. No. Pasul Eidus is not how I feel. If I feel bad to my brother, he's still my brother, and if I feel good to my brother, he's still my brother. Shami doesn't say that. Shami says in his Gashu, and that's what he quotes it. That's why they can be the same Sanhedrin. But, okay. I don't know if Halacha L'maaseh I would paskin, but it's a proof to the idea. And that, because of you, I'll learn the next one. Good. Now, you make me work. I don't like to stand daven up. I can't stand up for you. I shouldn't. Don't.
We won't get you in trouble. He's
in more trouble than you.
I'll join you.
Omar v'yud Omar Rav. Okay, this is a translation. Masi ba'odam echot shom ro ishtoi, that the wife, she had a defect. And they went to check whether she has a defect. So I smell, she said to him, if someone would bring me the dates of Jericho, I would eat them with it. The room collapsed on top of her and she died. The sages said, because he only followed her after her to check her, now that she died, he doesn't inherit her. In other words, since he followed to check her, he wanted to divorce her. And the Rashba says that he doesn't speak by only a betrothed, the Rashbam rather, by a betrothed, but by even a married. So here we see that Lagabe inheritance, also the same halacha exists. The other Rishonim learn not to rag the Rashbam, but if you check at the Rashbam, bin suam like minala, but we speak by she died, is a case of a full married woman, but the Rashbam says no. And then you'll see the Rashbam. The Rambam says, no, we speak, Binsua might mean, Vachogosinen, etc., etc. Look what the, because she followed after the checking. Now that she died, she doesn't inherit it because it was her intent, his intent to divorce her. And once you intend to divorce your wife, even a married woman, the relationship breaks. No? Yerusha, you throw out. Why is Yerusha different? Why should it be different? Negia Beedus, you throw out. Avelus, at least, maybe it's only the Rabbanan. Oh, somebody asked me that question, but it's not true. The first day is the Raisa. So in Avelus. But you know, I thought that's what you had in mind with Avelus. Oh, a get can be maskia that relationship, even if she, even, but it's at a smaller level. It's at a small. Pardon. I apologize. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, we wanted to say that the case of Avilut or. It has to do with a relationship, a familial relationship.
Yes.
And she's still a familial relationship,
yes.
Etc. But.
Ben Noach doesn't have a kid.
Huh?
Ben Noach doesn't have a kid.
No, that's what I'm trying to. That's not so certain. What is the whole issue? What is the whole issue? Forget about what I said about civil marriages, whether it's something or not. Exactly, even without a Kenyan.
Kenyan is agreement.
Kinya means acquisitive act. When the husband tells the wife, Hariat Mar Kadesh is under the chuppah, that's the acquisitive action. Okay? So? All right, so let me.
Isn't the chuppah itself.
A chuppah is a different kind of kinyan. It's not the kinyan for the relationship. Hachnosa l'shusha means so what? That's not a Kenyan. As a matter of fact, I want to ask you, does chuppah need that? Does chuppah need acquisition, a formal, that I know what I'm doing? Can you make a chuppah against someone's will?
I don't think so.
The answer is yes. Reb Chaim holds that. A kedushin you can make. Is there a Tosfos Ksubos here? Is there a Gemara Ksubos?
What paragraph?
The first daf. It's easy to remember. I'm not the big bucky. Not, it's a Tosfos. No, not high tanya, but high light tanya. That's a difficult Tosfos. I'll show you the words. So on the first daf on Tosfos. The Chaim said it, others said it, but I'm telling you what Tosfos. Because the words I have in Tosfos. Yeah, I've based on Madawi. From a thing that we generally speak, generally skip. Come, please. Hapsula noises. How do like tonal noisin is hapsula? Why does it say noisin in the active? If I would have said that, have amina, I could even make a mistake and think, I feel about karcho. Not I don't mean
I feel about karcho.
I feel about karcho.
How could you make such a mistake when.
Apparently.
Kumov and Shalom and Ava Spio.
Huh?
Kumov and Shalom and Ava Spio.
Kumov and Shalom and Bio is in
the. No, the country was seen as each other midaita.
Kedushin, not Nisuin.
Okay.
Could you please translate to us what we're transcribing?
What we're talking about is that the chuppah, the act of chuppah, can be done against the wish of the wife. And if it can be done, then he has a point. If it could be done, then I have a point. That's why he brought that up.
So how can it be done against her wishes?
Because nesuin is not a real acquisitive act. Nesuin is nothing more than an act. Once it took place, sometimes an act is an acquisitive act. You could conceivably say that the chuppah brings her closer, and that's what most people think. But Tosfos says no.
So good for the recording.
All right. So yes, sir.
Can I just ask you, some other based kid works on
The process is as follows. A woman comes to us and says her story. So we ask her to send all the documents to prove what she said, etc., etc. And we send the husband an invitation to. If it's three times that he doesn't come, we send two bad, and we're gonna judge anyway. And then we listen to her narrative. We don't take her word for it, obviously. We ask for witnesses. And sometimes what we do is we witness in this modern world. There's Skype. We did it from Los Angeles, from Toronto with Skype, etc., etc., from Paris, and so on and so forth. And if the witnesses corroborate, and some there's always more than two witnesses, and if it's an issue that can be proven with either government documents or psychiatrists or a psychologist or income taxes, etc., etc., she says the husband didn't support me for a cent, with a cent since 19 years of marriage, and we have all the checks and everything, etc., or not a cent of tuition, and so on and so forth. We're not fools. We look at that, and once we are convinced that the narrative is correct, we do one of two things. Either sometimes we do also do ta'ut. Ta'ut means is very simple. You know, she met no woman will get married if the husband is gay. No woman will get married if the husband is in jail. No woman will get married if the husband is a murderer. And also, no woman will get married if the husband promises sustenance and he doesn't give sustenance. Pardon? No, with children, the wife we didn't deal with that, but that could be. We could conceivably deal with it. And then if it's ta'ut, it's ta'ut. And if we have to do zikui, we also do zikui. And sometimes, for a case of zikui, we will not... I think that what I just said, you can fully serve... But some of my dayanim are a little more conservative than me. If they in a particular case where they insist, I said, okay, I'll go to a godly Eretz Yisrael, discuss it with him, and so on and so forth. That's what we do. But we try to be... Again, soon we'll have the website. People will be able to see the, except for the names, all the cases, why we said, for example, this thing will be translated into English. It's now in Hebrew paper, but it will be translated into English, and it will be on the website. The Beis Din Eretz Yisrael, at this stage, we had no formal, but the Beis Din Eretz Yisrael, those who have to know us, and hopefully they'll accept it. There was no formal issue yet. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, I'll tell you not what I did because we can't. But a great Sfardi Posek, Rafalaji, says 18 months. And a great Ashkenazi Posek, the Rabbeinu Yerucham, gives 2 years. But we're dealing with much more than 2 years, 7 years and 9 years and so on. The women of Yemen and Yasha were given a heter by Rav Herzog to use exactly that thing, what's called zikui. We said it's good for the husband that their wife is divorced. That happened. That's not me. That's Rav Herzog did.
And did you have to send them something to the husbands or what?
They didn't have to send it. They probably did. I don't know. I don't know what happened historically. Yes, sir. I can't tell you if, you know, obviously the woman will find out before if she wants to marry. And we'll, at that time, we will tell her who the Israeli rabbi was behind it. And to any husband that wants to know. And then we'll see. I mean, hopefully, if there's a... It is a great achrayus. I tell you, I'm much afraid of a possible get, too. But I'm also afraid of when there is no get. There can be worse things. So, no, I know you have a right to ask. No, I'm not angry at you. I'm only telling you that that procedure is a procedure that will be followed. And if an Israeli rabbi also says that it's okay, then I have no problems with that. More than that, I don't have to do. Correct? You're fighting against Egon. I'm only mentioning his name because, unfortunately, there's only one person I really trust, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. But unfortunately, he's sick now and he can't give me his okay lately. But if he gives me the okay, even if I would never mention his name, I wouldn't be worried. But I would if he would give it to me, and he told me to enter it. He asked me, when I went to discuss it with him, he said, you know what you're getting yourself into. He didn't tell me not to do it. Yeah, go ahead. I think I told it to somebody, or maybe I mentioned it, maybe I told it to a reporter. Part of the problem is that in Yahadut, and it's a problem, there's an issue with the fact that only the man makes the wedding. And there is no, the woman at the time of the wedding, except Sfaradim, are not even asked. In Sfaradim, under the Sfaradi Chuppah, they ask her, and she says, yes, I agree. The passivity of the Jewish woman in the case of a wedding, I have a problem with, a theological problem with, and I don't have an answer for that.
I just wanted to hear you say that.
Okay. Fine. Okay. Time is up, no?